Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Áine Duffy is an Irish singer, songwriter, and guitarist who has previously toured the world, including the US, Spain, Italy, and Canada, with her music which blends rock, R&B, and dance. "No female headliners? No problem," said Áine when she saw a lack of gender diversity on the upcoming Live at the Marquee series. In response, she, working in partnership with Cork City Council and the Nighttime Economy, has organized Don't Touch My Knob, a one-nighter featuring an all-female lineup. This is not the first time that Áine has taken matters into her own hands. During the pandemic, with live music on its knees, she first built her own passive small home and then used those skills to convert a donkey box into a convertible stage, the Duff Box, allowing her to travel and perform safely. The Duff Box saw Áine featured on the Brendan O'Connor Show, RTE1, BBC, Today FM, 2FM, Ireland AM, Nocht, RTE, TG4, Virgin Media, The Irish Times, Self-Build Magazine, News Talk, and more. In 2024, Áine began presenting her own radio show called Blas, the Irish word for taste and accent, celebrating Irish-based artists staying true to their stories, art, and culture. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Áine Duffy.
Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I am doing very well. I am in Cork, in Ireland, in west of Cork, pretty close to the coast, and the rain is pouring down.
Isn't that the norm from where you are?
Yeah, well, you know, if you don't, they say in a place called Kerry here, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. And it changes, the sun comes out.
Okay, for how long?
Five minutes.
Let's rewind. At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you think, okay, I want to be in this creative world? And how did that journey progress?
I wanted a guitar. I did go to a convent, but it was very, you know, you weren't going to get a part in the play unless you, you know, had some family connections or knew the nuns, you know. So there was no chance for that, being that my father was a plasterer. So I said, I know, I'll save up enough money and I'll buy a guitar, because I did love singing. And I wanted to play the instruments too. And I loved rock and roll. You know, I had a big cousin came back from Australia and showed me AC/DC. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. So I was pretty small and I saved for a guitar and from babysitting my godmother's kids. And I bought a guitar off my brother's friend. And of course, my brother's friend passed me the guitar and said, this is how you play it. And it was a right-handed guitar. And I play a right-handed guitar, but I'm actually left-handed. That was how it was. But it kind of made me be able to make my own guitar style. So you never know. There's no rules, really. So that's kind of how that started. And then I started playing in the pubs pretty quickly. I was playing when I was 15. I was going into schools the next day, but I was playing in the pubs. It was called Sing Along with Áine. So everybody came. They came with a song, and it could have been a Metallica song or an old Irish song or a Tracy Chapman song. You don't know what you were going to get. And I had to go away and come back the next week then with all of these songs. So I was like a little karaoke machine to get myself through school. So they were great fun and people joined in. And then I went to college. And, you know, when it's in you, it's in you. You can't kind of stop. Even though it can be a tough world, but when you're doing something you love, I don't think there's, as far as I know, that's a very important thing.
So you went to college, and then what were the next steps that after college that allowed you to become professional?
I had itchy feet, really. I I was playing in the cities. I had bands and I had everything going. But I remember the guitar shop people, they started speaking to me and they said, you know, you got to get out of Ireland to do well. And I had went to Canada with a group of lads from Clare. And when I saw the world over there in Canada, I was only to go for 3 weeks and I stayed for nearly 3 months. And they have an amazing music scene over there. They play like 40% local music. You're hearing all these bands. They really make it like a community. And I loved it. And I had found out that one of my songs had won something in a paper at home. I'd won some studio recording. So I came home, but again, I got the itchy feet. And I remember the music shop saying, you should go to LA or you should go somewhere. So I went to LA and I was playing around LA, but I'm pretty down to earth. And they were saying all these things that they say to women over there, you know, take away the guitar so we can see your body. And I like my electric guitar. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my word. Was that the audience or the music people?
No, the music people, you know, okay. They're in the street. They don't look at your guitar when you're playing it so you won't get a double chin.
Oh, yeah. My word. Yeah. And how long ago was that?
Like, that's, some of that stuff is still going on, but I think it's not. I think it's being called out more. You can see clips all the way through, but people are showing it now and they're kind of speaking out now. I mean, there's a fine line. It's hard to draw the balance. I made a campaign here in Ireland because it is hard. And they recently they done the data for 2024 and there had been 2% of Irish females on the radio.
Oh, wow.
No, I was like, this is embarrassing. And of course, that's the same year that Sinead O'Connor and Dolores O'Riordan from the Cranberries had passed away. They had played them then when they were dead. And then there was another big marquee that had come to the city close to me. And it's like the big one and it had been announced and there was no female headliner. So I was like, okay, this is getting embarrassing. That was something, and you shouldn't really be hiding any of the voices that are here anyway, because it's a big community. Any of the musicians that come, no matter where you're from, we all play music together. It's an important part of the culture. I have a radio show where I play all these different Irish artists because they're brilliant and they're hidden. They're hidden by these corporations. So I ended up knowing that how I could make awareness of the women was by having a bit of humor. So I made a campaign because I had done it before and it had worked a treat. And I knew that the name would go well. I had basically built this little stage in the pandemic out of a donkey box because we were on serious lockdown here, and I turned it into a stage. I love DIY and sustainable and building, and I turned it into a stage and I was able to go out around the country and put on gigs, and they were great fun. But some people were touching all of the systems and my guitars when I was trying to play because we were out in the open, you know, and they had been locked up for so long that they had been on YouTube and, you know, they thought they were experts at everything. So I was like, how will I get them away from it without them going, oh, here, that woman there, she's a diva. And I didn't want that. So I got a sign and I got a sign printed up and the sign said, don't touch my knob. So I put this sign on top of my PA system for the next gig. And the crack, it was, you know, crack in Ireland means fun. Sorry, just so people understand, if I say the crack, I mean the fun. I don't mean something else.
Yeah.
Okay. So everyone was having great fun down there and nobody touched it. But of course, someone had taken a picture and it was on the newspaper the next day. And then I was on the radio stations and there was such a laugh because everybody started saying, don't touch my knob. And because there was humor to it, it really resonated rather than having an argument, because it was just pointed out in such a funny way. So when I saw the statistics that came out and I saw that there was just 2% of the females and there was no female headliners, I was embarrassed. So I decided I'd put on a show. I put on a show called Don't Touch My Knob. I got 4 female acts. And I went further. I got onto the Cork City Council and I was looking for specific places, and they had Elizabeth Ford. So it's this old female women's prison from back in the day, where they used, the women might have just taken a piece of bread, or that was basically it, trying to keep their family alive, or stolen piece of material, and they were put in there and eventually shipped off to Australia from the prison. So I was like, I'm going to do it in the prison. So I did. So we got the whole prison and I got all the women up there, and we rocked out and we did all of it, and it was like a very special night. So this is kind of there is always these little hold ups that are there if you're a woman and you don't want to sound like you're just complaining because you're not, and there's that balance here in Ireland. You have to kind of, sometimes you have to like have a bit of humor with it. So once you make a bit of humor with something, they'll get on board easier. They say it's condescending chivalry. They don't mean any harm, you know. And I do normally come up with crackers when people are saying things, because I drive a van. I'm a musician. I have to get the gigs. I drive a van, and sometimes fellas would see me coming up in the van, and I'd have this something I built on the back called a duff box, and for musicians. And they'd be like, once I get there and I could be about 4 hours away from home, they go, do you know how to drive that? And I'm looking at them like, here, yeah, I fell out of the sky here and someone just dropped me. You know, surprise. What do you think I am? You have to kind of have humour with it and be careful. But I know a lot of people would prefer to just say, of course I know, but you've got it. There's a balance when you're in the public eye as much. So it's a balance you're trying to do, you know, and you're trying to, you're always trying to be yourself, because it's art, and art is how you speak and how you sound. And a lot of the mainstream, you know, they don't like a colloquial accent. They don't like your cultural kind of sound. But that's my favorite. I love that all over the world. Once I hear the culture and the tone and that's what makes it even better. That's what I'm going to keep doing. Because I don't want to sound the same as everyone else.
Exactly. And it's interesting for me, because they say that you lose your accent only as a child. And there are a lot of South Africans who've immigrated to other countries around the world.
Yeah.
And you hear them, and now all of a sudden they've got an Irish accent, an American accent, a British accent. And it's so put on. I lived overseas for a while and I kept my South African accent. I kept my nuances. The minute you speak to those people who put on those accents, you speak to them for like 2 minutes, and all of a sudden the South African accent falls out.
They're South African again.
And I think they've got such a fear of not fitting in, so that they just change their accents so that they can fit in where they at.
You see it in America too. Like they kind of try to train the accent out of even the Southerners. I met many actors from like down south, and they were like saying, no, lose your accent. I was like, don't lose your accent. You know, don't, because they're all so lovely in their own regards as well. There's so many different accents. I love them. My own radio show is called Bloss, and that's the Irish word for accent. It also means your taste, so it's like this whole word. And that's why I have all artists that, once you're listening to them, you can hear it and you can feel it in them, and they're talented musicians, and they're not making music to fit the algorithm, you know?
Yes.
You can hear this sound all over the world, but I can't handle it anymore. Because I love the variety that's out there. So I'm kind of just pushing to make it a community here, because it's such a big thing here. And like, we're a small island, but everyone has something in them. Like, a lot of people can give you a good song down in the local pub or around the kitchen table. They can give you a good song. So then the real artists are, they're powerful stuff. And it is there. Even when people from other countries come here, they say it. I heard a French girl on TikTok, and she was saying, my boyfriend, she lives in Dublin with her boyfriend, and she was saying, my boyfriend, every time I sing a song, he just kind of shrugs his shoulders, and he's like, oh, it's okay, it's all right. Like, and she's like, oh, I don't understand, all of my family in France, and they all think I'm so good. And then I come here and he says, Mary down the road is very good as well. You've got to be really good, like, to get the attention. You've got to be really good. So she just kind of had to resign to the fact that if he'll give her a compliment, if it's really good.
Tell us more about your radio show.
Okay, so because of all of the kind of gatekeepers in Ireland, loads of musicians basically got together and made this radio station called, well, it was Maria McCormack, who's from Donegal, who's got a beautiful accent, different to mine completely, again, from the other side of the island. And she, you know, said, like, I'll start up my own radio show and a radio station. And she did. So I have a show and I do mine once a month, but she plays it every Friday at 9 p.m. Irish time. And it's basically a whole mix of music that is from or has been made in Ireland. And it can be whoever's here. They don't have to necessarily be Irish. But the stuff, it's amazing. I'm so proud of it. And we don't have like the options to do that. And there's a huge listenership of radios here, but they won't get played. And it's a big thing. I kind of curate mine. And I call it Blas, as I told you the word for it. I call it a tapas of tunes. So it's like all these different ones you can try and listen to. But none of them are bad. None of them are bad musicians. You know, it's all, they're all really good. You mightn't have heard it before, but you could end up liking it, like tapas. That's how music should be. You don't have to like it.
How do you create a song?
I'll tell you, in the last kind of 3 years, they are more cathartic for me. I'm enjoying them. I'm writing what is happening or what's annoying me, you know, so in a funny way, because that's kind of how I would say things anyway if I was speaking to someone. And when I'm speaking, obviously I go up and down if you're talking about, you know, you change the tone in conversations. So I do write like that, but I write with humour. So the last couple of years, I've kind of had an idea in my head that has been bothering me. And then I make the rhythm on the guitar, piece of paper down on the ground, old school, to be honest with you, to start it off. That's how I do it. And I start getting a rhythm that's matching how I'm feeling about the thing that's annoying me, you know. So that's how they're starting at the moment. Like I had one about flaky people and it's called Tits Up and it's very funny. And then the same as if I was telling a story, then I might have a little piece in the middle that's a bit slower and then it's all fun again. And I had one about the housing crisis here because, of course, we're all going through it. There's a big housing crisis here. Even it's frustrating. And I actually built my own house. I don't know if you know.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So in the pandemic, again, I was frustrated with the housing crisis at the same time because we were all getting affected by it. So I thought, how could I prove that what they're saying it's going to cost, it isn't? Because we couldn't go out and play music as of yet. So I went off the credit union here. I took a loan of 12,500 euro and a tree had fallen in my parents' garden and my dad was sick. So I just built something. I knew I'd be able to move it there if I needed to look out for him or them or anywhere in the end, if I needed to buy a piece of land. But my whole point was I'm going to prove that you can build a house for £12,500 and a nice one and under the restrictions and the whole rules. Now, of course, since I've done it, it's laxed, but I did it and it's gorgeous. It's sustainable. It has a green roof. It's got a timber frame. It's got 6 inches insulation. It's cool in the summer and warm in the winter, and it's got a life of its own. I did it all in a smart way, and I learned a lot, but I do love carpentry, and that's why I kind of end up doing something else like I did with the donkey box. I upgraded it because I call that the Duff Box because people get a laugh off the name. So I've just built another one, the Duff Box 2.0, and it's on a little trailer. That's single axle because you don't need a license to pull them here. You can pull them on your regular driving license.
Okay.
And it combats the housing crisis for the musicians because there's no accommodation. And they can hook this onto the back of their car and there's a whole kitchen and a toilet and a bed and everything inside in the back. And then it pulls down. so you can like book your decks or have a pop-out stage as well. Because playing on the beaches and around the castles and stuff here is amazing. And these pop-up private things are really, they keep the humor going and the community and meeting people, you know.
What's coming up over the next period of time?
So I'm hatching up a few plans here now. So we always have to hatch up the plans for the end of the year. So I'm going to take Don't Touch My Knob a bit further. I'm going to bring that to a couple of different cities. And I might try and take the Duff Box abroad or build some other ones. And then that's also going to be the young people here are struggling for a bit of fun. And they'd love to see some DJs. So I'm going to try and put in some proposals to get that on a Friday at 5:30 until 7 with DJs for the young kids so they can go there after school and have good fun outside with the Duff Box. So I kind of have loads of these things planned. I have tunes coming out. So I have one coming out called Know It All. Again, Know It Alls were driving me mad. So I wrote a song about it. It's funny as well. This is kind of, oh, wow, I'm rolling at the moment. If stuff is annoying me, I'm kind of taking the mickey out of it back, you know? And then I have an idea where there's groups of us all speaking about how we can kind of open the gates of the Irish music industry. So I think I'm going to start documenting it with a camera. See what I can do. So that's kind of going to be a big one. So I'm gathering up all the stories here, just unbelievable. And we're going to put it all out there and try and come together. Because it's amazing what people can do. And if we can just share the love, I mean, I know there's competition has a place and it's great in sport and all that, but with music, it's different, or art in general, because you're not all going to like the same thing. Like, you're not all going to like to drink the same drink. You're not all going to like the same music. But we have such amazing music here that I'd love to just showcase it a bit. You never know. There could be someone over there then in South Africa you might all love too. The next Rodriguez Sugar Man is here in Ireland.
I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's an energy exchange to say thank you to you guys for all the hard work that you do. I love the journey of the choice, the unpacking, the booklet, the thank yous. I'm not sure if you are aware, a massive uptick of physical around the world. 2 years ago in the UK, 5.9 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990. Last year in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge exchanges on daily. And based on these exchanges, which there needs to be a high amount, they monitor something for tax purposes. Because of the upsurge of CDs again, CDs are back in the basket. And the research is showing that it's the teenagers, it's the younger kids diving into this world, not the older nostalgic people. Then we have streaming platforms that people consume music on. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
It's like a daily conversation. We're just like, what platform should we be on? Even today, I have like two different WhatsApp groups. One is just people in general, and the other one is like all these industry people and music industry. And even the music industry people know that the public are saying, what do we use? What do we use? Because people are trying to go away from Spotify, and then they want to go here, they want to go there. Or like, and then at the end of the day, they've been checking out the different algorithms, and as I said, the algorithms aren't built for colloquial accents, and which we have. So they're kind of on the fence about streaming, you know. There's not a big income for it, and royalties are kind of a big thing for us and our live shows. But again, it being an island, if you are played on a bigger station, and I mean, I have been, of course, but they can play someone, or like they can play someone over and over and over. They had someone there that they had played for 15 weeks, and there's so many other people that they won't get a chance then. That's what they had said about the women. They say, oh, they only request male voices. No, they don't. The answers were crazy. Oh, you're too old and long in the tooth, and all these things they say to people, like, but you know what? It's just not true. everywhere. There's women and men everywhere that are older playing, and it shouldn't matter. But there is, we do have to kind of figure out, the streaming is a tricky one for us. It really is. It's a conversation every day at the moment, and it's changing. So even if you get a load of streams, you don't necessarily make much money. And the vinyls are good if you're going out gigging. But it's just that they're expensive in the first place. That's the other problem, is that people are doing their albums. They're spending, a friend of mine spent £14,000, you know, they did their album, then they had to get PR, then they had to get them all done up and everything. And it costs so much money that then when they sent the album out for release, there was only the option of a few places that could review it. And then they didn't know where else to go and where to play from there. So it's a catch-22. I kind of think outside the box. And because I've had all these stages, I kind of pop up. And I do travel a lot. I travel to other countries. Yeah, I've been in many an airport with guitars all around me, like Tetris. Yeah, that's one that's still very much in the conversations every day, to be honest with you. I mean, even in the last month, it's like a different answer. So I just kind of go out and do my pop-ups and do these shows. And I have, luckily, people will get my music where they can, but it's not going to get much online. My royalties will help. And because I travel and because my music, you can dance and you can have great fun too. I'm able to kind of do after parties, after award ceremonies, and then I have like high-vis jackets, because I'm always saying keep her lit. It's what we say here, keep her lit. So if it is nighttime, they have their high-vis jackets. Or you have to really think outside the box. I have Don't Touch My Knob t-shirts. It's, you have to have merchandise. You have to really kind of be thinking all the time, because we're navigating something that you're like, something that's constantly changing, and they might dip back into something else and come back out again. And so you have to constantly be coming up with something to be able to play music. It's a really unusual one. It's a tricky one. But if we had one answer that was the correct answer, it would be fine. But it just changes. It's ever changing every week. Like,
I love this game. Top of mind. No reasoning behind it. I know if I had to ask you this question today, tomorrow, the next day, I know your answer will be different every time. I understand it, and I recognize it.
Like the music industry.
Yeah, exactly. If you had to push play to five other artists, just this one, this one, this one, this one, without any sort of reasoning, who would those five artists be?
So, I mean, I love creative thing. If I have, I love listening to a whole album, that cinematic orchestra album I loved. And I love Fortet for the... And I grew up loving Erykah Badu, so I would definitely press play on one of her albums. I love Planxty. They're this Irish band, but they were amazing musicians. They have the heart and the feel. And there's another Irish band called Keela. There's just powerful stuff in Ireland that I just kind of, I can't believe anymore. I'm just so happy finding them out that I have just buckets of playlists of them. It's exciting stuff.
The podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message to the audience, what would you like to say?
I'd like to say that originality is a good thing. So if you hear something that maybe sounds a bit different at the start, give it a chance. You know, like when you're eating an olive. I remember, you know, you mightn't like it at the start, but give it a chance. And try and support your local artists, because they're trying. Go to a live show. That's going to help. And it'll help you as well. And be nice to each other and keep her lit. And don't touch my knob.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.